You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
If this is your very first time here, my name is Damon. My wife, her name is Taisha, and we are the lead pastors of City Place Church, and we welcome you this morning. We believe that God has called our church to be a life-giving church that builds dreams, ignites faith, establishes leaders that win the lost for the kingdom of God, and we promise that every week that you come, that we will be life-giving. We will be life-giving. And this morning, I just want to continue and finish up our series called A Little Bit of Wisdom. Last week, I shared the story of my being on The Price is Right. Anybody watch that show, The Price is Right? The Price is Right. And I shared what happened in The Price is Right and how I was chosen and how we eventually won a new car. Yeah. And I told City Place last week that I'm not going to build a theology off of that. But I am going to tie it back into what we said last week. And so last week's focus was watch where you sit. Watch where you sit. Because when I was in Los Angeles and my wife wasn't with me when I was on the show. I don't know if that's the reason why I won, girl, or... But no, I don't know. But she wasn't with me. And so when they sat me down, they sat me down in a place that was in the right corner, in the back, about five rows from the back. And so the thing that happened was that the attendant in the red jacket didn't sit me. The producer of the show did. So when the producer of the show sat me, they knew who they were going to pick. Are you with me? So the producer of the show sat me where they wanted to sit me, not the attendant who would just be like, some of you today sat where you wanted to sit, and some of you sat where maybe one of the hosts walked you down and said, sit here. There's always a strategy to where you sit. And last week, we focused on two passages of scripture. We took one in 1 Kings with a prophet by the name of Elijah, and the Bible says that when Jezebel, who was a leader of a kingdom, she gave him a threat. She said, because of the way you serve God and the miracles that you're doing, tomorrow I'm going to kill you. How about that, huh? She said, tomorrow I'm going to kill you, and if it doesn't happen, may the dogs eat me. Don't you wish sometimes that your enemy, if they made a threat, that they were willing to like it? And if I don't get you tomorrow, may a Doberman pincher come out and eat my leg off. That's what I'm talking about. But this is old school Bible. And so it says that she says, if I don't get to you tomorrow, by the time I even said this, then I will be eaten by the dogs. And the Bible says that Elijah, out of fear, after he had called fire down from heaven, he had literally called fire down from heaven. He, by himself, killed 400 prophets of Baal, Jackie Chan-like, 300. I don't know if y'all seen those movies. Old Bruce Lee style. He did that all by himself through God's power. And when she said what she said, something in him said, oh, you know what? What she said might be true. And the story says that he tells his servant, let's go. They start going, and then he says, stay here. I'm going to go into the wilderness by myself. And the Bible says that he found himself under a broom tree or a juniper tree in some translations. And we broke down what that was. The tree where he decided to go was a dry place. It was a wilderness. It was an isolated place. So here he was, spiritually dry, and the place where he isolated himself was a dry place. And I challenged everyone last week that you and I do the same thing. We're running on empty. And instead of running to a place that's full of life, we run to a place that's empty. All of us have those friends that are still in the same place. Have you ever found yourself when you're going through something and you go and tell what you're going through to the friend that's going through worse stuff? And then neither of you can breathe life into each other because both of you are in dry places. And so the story says that he goes and positions himself in a dry place underneath a tree that was meant to give him shade, but it was in a dry place. Like, tree, not a bad idea. Gonna give me shade. But he said, friend, You stay here. I'm going by myself. He goes to a dry, isolated place, surrounded by nothing but dryness, underneath a tree that's in a dry place. And the second thing about the tree was that if you look in Job, it is chapter 30. We talked about this last week. It said that the broom tree was used in extreme situations by poor people because they would grab the root of the broom tree and use it as food. I said last week that sometimes when we're in a dry place, we reach to be fed in places that are not designed to feed us. We're trying to get what we need, and you're not going to find it in a dry place. That was the first story. And so I challenged everyone, and I said, what are we sitting under? Because if we're sitting under a circumstance, we can't get victory there. The second story was found in Matthew, where the Bible says that the women are coming in the morning after Jesus has died, those days later. They come to the tomb, and the Bible says that an angel of the Lord from heaven has come down from heaven, grabbed the stone, rolled it away, then decided to sit on the stone. So Elijah sits underneath the tree. The angel of the Lord sits on the stone. And we talked about, why didn't the angel stand? How come the angel didn't stand in splendor? Because when you read it, it says that it was like in white and it looked like lightning. That's cool. Look like lightning? Lightning sometimes is scary, y'all. But the Bible says when God is in it, it looks good. So the angel of the Lord grabs the stone, rolls it away, and then sits on the stone. Two contrasts. One sits underneath the tree in the dry place. The other one sits on the stone. Take a look at your sermon notes, which you will find on your seat. And I'm going to catch you up. Is it okay if I catch you up? Awesome. Here's what we wrote down. We said this first and foremost, that where I sit matters. Where I sit matters. So if I sit underneath the tree, I'm at risk. If I sit on the stone, my perspective changes. And here's what the Bible says in Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This doesn't have anything to do with God telling you where to sit, but it does ring out loud that where you sit matters. Are you with me? There's not where God has placed you, you should pay attention to. No, what it says is, hey, you need to watch where you sit. Because where you sit matters. Because where you sit is tied to God's blessing. The very first said, blessed is the person who walks not, who stands not. Don't you sit there. You want to be blessed? Watch where you sit. Because where you sit matters. You choose where you sit. We probably showed you the row today, didn't we? Here's a good row. Sit right here. But you chose your seat, didn't you? Right here. Well, no. In the middle. No, I want to be on the end because I got to be close to the bathroom. Military, I don't ever sit with my back turned. Where you sit matters. Who you sit beside this morning matters. If you came in here dry this morning and you're like, I haven't been to church in a long time. If the person beside you is grumpy, you might be grumpy. Your experience this morning can be formed by the person you're sitting beside for real. Your experience when you came in the door. Hopefully we greeted you with a smile. You might have gotten 15 hugs this morning. You might have gotten some high fives. The reason why is because when you come in, the only life you may have received all week, you might have received at the door. We're so glad to see you this morning. Welcome home. We want you to feel excited to be here. Why? Because this should be life-giving when you come into an encounter with God. Are you with me? So that when you sit down, we want you to feel like, what can God do for me? What can I receive from the Lord today? Because I need him to show up like never before. I love your vulnerability today and trusting us with the thing of your heart and allowing the team to pray for you this morning. Because beyond everything that we may do to make you feel welcome, the most important thing is that what God has to give to you, you receive. And so the fact that you trusted our team with your prayer means the world to us. Why? Because we want you to sit in a place of victory versus under a circumstance that makes you think that God's not for you. Are you with me? Where you sit matters. We wrote this, we said this. It's okay to sit down, but where I choose for my soul to sit matters. That's the significant thing is where I choose for my soul to sit, that's what matters. This is where we find Elijah last week. Is Elijah had done all of the mighty miracles of God, but his soul was tired. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you're like me sometimes, my mind can play tricks on me. And I'm a pastor. I remember thinking that my pastors were superheroes. And then being in ministry for 19 years and being close to them, I saw, oh, wow, you're just like me. The enemy throws blows at you, and man, the thing that differentiated you from hitting the ground was that your soul, you were able to keep it healthy. And in 1 Kings, we see Elijah sitting underneath a tree because his soul was depleted. His soul was dry. His soul was empty. His mind, oh, Lord, what she said, it might happen. What if it does happen? And when he has a conversation with God, he is so raw, and God is just sitting there listening. We're going to bounce there in a second, but I'm trying to catch you up. See, you can sit down, but where you choose to sit is significant. Will you sit under your circumstance? Or will you sit on a rock? That's the comparison between the two stories. The angel of the Lord was really strategic because God knew that there had to be something that we can pull from the story beyond the resurrection of Jesus. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Great. But why was the angel sitting on the stone? Because the thing that was meant to bring defeat was the angel's seat. The angel sat on what was defined as a defeat. To show us that Jesus ain't here. Your dream is never dead when Jesus says, come back to life. It's never over. It never ends when Jesus is involved. Where you sit matters. The angel of the Lord proved two things. And this was our wisdom key from last week, and now we're caught up. I can either sit under my circumstances or I can sit on them, but I can't do both. I can sit under it. I can sit on it, but I can't do both. See, we can't let the problems of life have control and sit in a place of victory as well. We have to choose where we sit. Are you with me? You okay so far? Watch now. This is your choice. I can choose to let everything I face in my life be the place where I sit. Or I can choose the victory that Jesus declared for me, even if I don't see it, I can still sit in victory. Are you with me? I'm gonna do it one more time. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can. I can. Sit under my circumstance. Or I can sit in a victory that is declared to me that I can't even see yet. It's my choice. In the story with the angel is sitting on the victory that the women didn't see yet. The tomb was empty, but the angel said, when you go ahead back, you're going to run into Jesus. The victory that you have come to see, you don't see yet. But if you will trust me, when you walk a little further, you will see the victory. Are you with me? It's up to you. You can sit under your circumstance. You can sit in a seat of victory. But you can't do both. I don't even know how that would look. You know what I mean? Y'all didn't think I was that flexible, did you? In skinny jeans. Come on. I always say that if I ever put on skinny jeans and a dog was chasing me, I'm done. You know what I mean? Have you, I don't know if y'all have worn skinny jeans, because like I look at the fence height and I'm like, oh, I'm done. Just take me. That's the main reason why I fought it for years, David. Dog, chase me, I'm done. You can't choose both. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. And I put it in your notes for you to study. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. There is a seat right beside Jesus with your name on it. That's a different perspective than being under a circumstance. See, when you're seated beside Jesus, you get his perspective. Are you with me? When I'm seated under something, I have to look up at my problem, which means my problem is elevated above me. But Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 2 that he's got a seat right beside him. So if I sit in his seat in a heavenly view, then everything should be underneath me. Are you with me? Where you sit matters, but you can't sit under something and over it at the same time. So let's hop into today's point of view. 1 Kings, chapter 19, 3 through 4, and then verse 11 through 13. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. There'll be some scriptures on the screen as well. Ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey, we talked about that just a second ago, into the wilderness, and he came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Take me out, I'm done. Before she gets to me, you take me out, or I'm going to take myself out. Depressed, suicidal. Hop down to verse 11. Then the Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain. I need you to go a little bit higher than where you are right now. You're kind of under some things, Elijah. I want you to go stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Elijah spends time underneath his circumstance. He says, I'm done. My soul is tired. I am so out of it that I feel like giving up. Private question, have you ever felt like giving up on your marriage, on your job, on your life? Because it's been too heavy. The story in the Bible says that God says, hey, listen, you're underneath the tree, but I need to get you on top of a mountain. I need to change your perspective. He says, now, just so you know, you can choose to sit there, or you can go up to the mountain. Look, he just says, go up, stand up on the mountain. And it says that he went by, and every bit of how we would think God would show up happens. God shows up and the wind came. He wasn't in that. And when God's presence was there, the earthquake shook. He wasn't in that. And then the fire from heaven fell. He wasn't in that either. Hey, Elijah. Come here. That leads me to believe that in the cares of life, in our weekend service and all of the noise and it's jumping around, God is going, hey. Hey. How are you today? How's everything going? But sometimes in looking for the wind, God, where are you at? Or maybe it's the winds of life that blows you from side to side. Or maybe it's the shaking of your circumstance. Or maybe it's the fire that you're in. It's like, every time I take one step forward, I take two steps back. Then you're like, God, where are you? And he's like, hey. Hey. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm just trying to whisper to you. But you can't hear me. That's pretty good dramatic effect, huh? He says, I'm trying to talk to you, but Elijah, you've forgotten how I talk. I don't do a lot of yelling. I use my normal voice. Hey, how are you? That was back in the day, Elijah. That little tickle on your tummy when you said, I'll follow you every day. I'll give you my life. Some of us have to remember the very first day that we said yes to Jesus. It wasn't in the noise. It was when you might have been at a youth camp. You might have been in a service. You might have been at the drug table. You might have been doing something you wasn't supposed to do, but something said, you know you shouldn't be doing that. And then you said, oh, I need a change. And it was a whisper. And he says, Elijah, you forgot about the fact that I talk to you in my normal tone. But you've been functioning with the wind and the earthquake and the fire, and that's why you're tired. I love that God takes him up on a mountain and says, all of this stuff you're used to seeing, fire from heaven, you're going to take out 400. And then it's my normal voice that really drew you to me. It's my normal voice that drew you to me. So here's what I was thinking about is, I just give you just a couple of nuggets. I thought it was really good last week's message, like sit under it, sit on top of it. But then I thought to myself, well, how do I get from underneath it? Damon, don't just tell me that I need to get from underneath it. How do I? So I'm going to give you just a couple of things. I'm going to let you go. You ready? Here's the first thing. And it's on your notes. Get in God's presence so I can get real in his presence. Get in God's presence so I can get real in God's presence. Get in God's presence so I can get real in God's presence. You can keep that verse up, but I'm going to read you another one. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 1. It says, truly my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. I'm sitting up higher and they're trying to bring me down underneath what they want to do to me. This is what David is saying. They take delight in their lies. With their mouth, they bless me, but in their hearts, they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock. That's where I'm sitting, David said. And my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is your refuge. You've got to get in God's presence so you can get real in his presence. Once you get in God's presence, you can tell him everything that you feel about your enemy. David goes, God, my soul finds rest in you. Now, you are my fortress, you are my rock, you are my salvation, and I got a bunch of people who are trying to take me from your presence, trying to change my view, and I am worn out. That was in verse 4, 5, and 6. David goes from, God, you are my rock. My soul finds rest in you. I am in your presence right now. Since I am in your presence, let me get real with you. See, if I get in God's presence, I can get real in God's presence. So instead of me going to my thirsty friend who's also dry, I've got to get into God's presence so I can get real in God's presence. I need your wisdom, yes. I need your advice, yes. But sometimes you disagree with me. You know that's bad. I know that's bad. You're right. Philip shouldn't have said that to you. You know what you need to do with Philip? You need to cut Philip off. Well, I don't know what God said yet. When I get in God's presence, I go to God's presence so I can get real in God's presence. And Psalms 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Watch now. When you come to him, come with him contrary to how you may feel. Like, even when you come to God's presence, you don't come underneath nothing. come before him with joyful songs, but I'm feeling sad. Hey, if you're going in his presence, you're going to have some joyful moments. So you bring him what you need. God, I just thank you today that you woke me up this morning. I'm so glad to be in your presence. You got to bring him something. Even if you feel contrary and you're carrying his load, God, I just thank you today that you've held me through this circumstance. Bring him something. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Boom. When you come in, you can change my circumstance. There ain't nobody like you. I'm coming to you for a reason, for a purpose. It says, enter his gates, verse 4, with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him first. Praise his name. If you're going to go into God's presence, don't just drag your problems. That just means you and I are needy. Get into his presence first, then get real with him. Are you with me? So, God, I just thank you today. God, I may not feel like it, but I'm going to give it to you today. You are my fortress. You are my rock. My soul finds rest in you, like David said in Psalm 62. God, here it is. And then once you say, here it is, and God is like, yeah, you're praising me from a higher place. See, God always sets us up. Because when we enter into God's presence with something contrary to how we're feeling, we elevate God, which then sits us back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We are from his perspective. Am I throwing a lot at y'all today? My wife's like, yes. Am I losing anybody? Confusing anybody? I get excited when I'm preaching because I see it in my head. I just want to make sure it comes out of my mouth properly. God changes our perspective when we go into his presence. I'm just telling you that God is always thinking higher. And if we think higher, we won't land under our circumstance. So even when you enter into God's presence, he's like, I'm bringing you higher and you don't even know it. Are you with me? Write this down. Rest, number two, rest in God's presence so I can recover in his presence. So I get into God's presence so I can get real with him. I got to let it off my chest. I'm tired of holding on to it. It's wearing me out. But number two is I rest in God's presence so I can recover in his presence. I rest in God's presence so I can recover in God's presence. David was masterful. Psalms 23 is phenomenal. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack for a thing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Watch now. He refreshes. Another context says he restores my soul. He guides me along all the right paths. Watch now for his name's sake. His name's sake is higher than what I go for. I love it. David says he restores my soul so that he can be elevated again. David says, and watch now. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Flip This House, those restoration things. Things that are broken become beautiful in the right hands. David said, the Lord, I'm all in. I don't lack for anything. Even when I'm void, I'm not missing anything. He says, when I'm broken down and I don't even look like King David, in his hands, splat out. See, when you are dry, it says that God has a way of making you rest. Making you lie down. Why? Because you've got in his presence. You've gotten real. Now, since you're in his presence, let him do his thing. You're higher. Now, since you're higher, you're sitting from his perspective. He's like, chill down, relax, calm down. David says, he leads me beside quiet waters. My mind is going. My emotions are going. My wheels out of place. And he's like, relax. Then by the time I leave his presence, I'm rebuilt. And now I'm willing to follow him wherever he wants to go again. He said, now I'm following him, his leadership all over again. All because I was in his presence. See, when you rest in God's presence, you recover in God's presence. When you read 1 Kings again, chapter 19, you will find a dialogue. And I didn't put it in there just for time. You will find a dialogue after verse 11 that God has with Elijah. And this is what he told Elijah. He said, go take a nap. When you wake up, there'll be food and something to drink by your head. Elijah wakes up, eats what he eats, drinks what he eats. And then this is what the angel said. Lay down. When you wake up, there'll be more food. All he said was, you were so tired, you hadn't eaten. Rest. When he got up, he says, what you ate will take you 40 days. But he says, it's going to take you 40 days to the cave that is called my presence. So when you see this, he is at the cave that led him to God's presence. So when the Lord tells you to take a nap, take a nap. If the Lord tells you to chill, don't go at them like that. Take a nap. If the Lord asks you for 5 more minutes of devotional time, give it to him. Give it to him. Now here, we're worship team, you can come up. You can come on up. I'll give you these. I'll spit them out. So here's how you find rest in God. You ready? And we're done. Number one is right under resting in God, quiet your soul. Number one, cover your eyes. Cover your eyes. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs your spirit. So what you might be seeing, if your soul is dry, it might look like a mirage. It might not be what you're seeing. They against me. Well, actually, you tired. Okay. They tired. They never give me an increase on my job. Well, you might be tired. And because you're tired, you're not working hard. So your promotion is delayed. You need to take a nap. Okay? So you got to cover your eyes. Number two, plug your ears. Plug your ears. 2 Timothy 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Plug your ears. Not everything you hear is of the Lord. You can't have everybody speaking into your life because some people prophesy to you what they already know. I know you need a new car. God's going to give you a new car. Of course he is. There you go. Boom. How about that? That was deep. It was. Uh-huh. Look, what I'm telling you is that you have got to know that God speaks to you in the whisper. So this morning, I was prophesying over your, speaking life over your marriage. Here's what I do. I'm going to give you practical. You take what I said back to God. Okay? Back to God. Pastor Damon said this about our marriage. Lord God, I need you to confirm it. That's what you do. Because I'm here and you could be just trusting me as pastor of City Place Church. But what I do, anytime anyone speaks something to me, I'll either take it back to my pastor, Pastor, this is what they said. Even today, even though I'm pastoring this church with my wife, I take it back to my pastor. Pastor, you told me what you saw in me. Did you see me doing that? Because if it's not confirmed in him, I'm sorry. I appreciate what you said, but it's not resonating right now. So what you do is you take what God speaks to you back to God the Father. It'll either be confirmation or it'll be total noise. Are you with me? But you got to plug your ears. You got to plug your ears. Number three, this is my favorite. Shut your mouth. Some of us talk too much. We speak negativity, and we don't even give God an opportunity to speak. Chapter 4 says this, look, also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue, a little member, and boasts great things. See how a great forest, a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and at the same time we curse men. You can either sit under it or sit on it, but you can't do both. We got to shut our mouth. Fourth thing, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of your life. You're holding on to something. Don't just give it away. Guard it. Final thing, focus your thoughts. Philippians 4 Verse 8 says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't let it leave your mind. Don't let it leave your mind. Focus on those things. Focus on those things. And here's the wisdom key, and I'm going to pray. The wisdom key is God refreshes me. God refreshes me so I can get to and stay in his presence, not to complete my work. God refreshes me so I can get to and stay in his presence, not to complete my work. One more time. God refreshes me so I can get to and stay in his presence, not to complete my work. Not to complete my work. My prayer is that we receive the access with open arms to run into God's presence. That we don't sit under things that God never designed for us, but that we sit in a place of victory. This morning, I want to challenge you to get into God's presence and rest in his presence so that you can recover. Plug those ears, y'all. Shut that mouth. Guard your heart. Focus your thoughts. Watch what you see. And I promise you that God will begin to refresh you this week.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.